Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible, if you need one, slip up your hand. We'll get you one. Anybody need a Bible or would like to get a Bible? We'll make sure everybody has one. Need a Bible over here? Let me hook my brother up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we've been speaking, this is part five, and this is the final part of this series. I don't know what the Lord's going to do next week. We haven't finished with this week yet. Amen? which the title is No Prophet Without Manifestation. We've built this off of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Which says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Look to your neighbor and say, that includes you. Amen. We began with the words of wisdom and words of knowledge. To another is given the faith. To another, the gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. And verse 11 says, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. We understand that faith is the activator. Faith is the activator. Who remembers last week? No relief without movement. We talk about being spiritually constipated. Just in the natural, we can understand, but in the spirit, that if we're constipated, if we're not allowing the gifts of the Spirit to flow, there's no benefit or no relief to others in the body. Amen? Okay? And today, I'm going to focus on being under the influence. Under the influence. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen? And today, as we're filled with the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in the body, today we're looking at the last three gifts that he uses, shares with us in 1 Corinthians 12. It's discernment, dialects, and disclosure. Okay? I just named them. That's for... The discernment is discerning of spirits, dialects is the tongues, and the interpretation of tongues is the disclosure or the revealing. Okay? So can we all just lift our word together and make a declaration in the house today? Amen? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing for me this day. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we're so grateful again for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in this place today. Father, we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as your word goes forth, faith will increase in this house today. Faith will increase in every last individual that's gathered in the presence, Father God. Because, Father God, you sent your word to accomplish something today. And as you said in Isaiah, it will never return to you void. It'll accomplish what you sent it to do. So, Father God, I pray right now, Father, remove Carl. Get me out of your way, Father God. Spirit of the living God, speak through this vessel today. May this voice and the words that come out of my mouth bring glory, honor, and praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. May the words that proceed out of this mouth build up the body. May they be encouraged. May they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory, all honor, and all praise is yours. So, Lord, again, we say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Under the influence, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, whatever you're influenced with is what's going to come out. More of him is going to come out of you and I. So first he says, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Recognize there and underline in your Bible in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it's not discerning of spirit, it's spirits in the plural. Spirits in the plural. Discernment comes from the Greek word diakrisis. It's spelled D-I-A-K-R-I-S-I-S. And it means to disclose or to reveal. Okay? In other words, there's nothing hidden. God gives a spirit of discernment to disclose or to reveal. So let's look with me in 1 John chapter 4 as we're looking at the discerning of spirits. Verse number 1 said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that he should come, and even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We find there's the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We're discerning the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of Christ and the spirit of the Antichrist. You're either for him or against him. You're either discerning the spirit of truth. In other words, the Bible says there's no private interpretation of Scripture. Scripture will interpret Scripture. So he's given us everything we need to be victorious in the Word. We're talking about a gift of the Spirit being active in the body, and it's discernment. Discernment is having insight, seeing something, being able to tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong. Amen? Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a moment. Verse number 12, the Word of God says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Amen? We're talking about the gift of spiritual discernment, discerning spirits, discerning the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of Christ and the spirit of the Antichrist. How many know that the Antichrist sometimes looks just like Christ? Sometimes it sounds just like Christ, but it isn't Christ. What did the devil do when Jesus was tempted by the devil when he came out of the wilderness? The devil quoted scriptures. The devil quoted the word of God, but he took them out of context and he twisted them around. And that's what the spirit of the Antichrist does. He takes the word and twists it around, and it becomes the spirit of error and not the spirit of truth. Are you with me? Everybody with me here? So let's look with me in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse number 12. We have the rule stick. We have the ruler. We have the measuring device. Amen? This is the measuring device is Hebrews 4, 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word, this is the ruler. This is the level. Everything that I do and everything that I say must align with the word of God. If it doesn't align with his word, it's not from him. He is not adding to it. He's not going to take away from it. When he said, when he wrote in the end, amen, it means so be it, it's finished. So if you go to Genesis, the Revelations, and everything in between, God ain't going to change nothing. You're going to find in the time and the season that we're living in now that the word's being twisted and it's going to be changed. Everything's going to be changed. And the world is going to try to come in and be the church, but they're not. God will not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will not change. That's the only thing that we have steady. So no matter what I hear, no matter what I see, no matter what comes my way, if it doesn't align with his word, it's not him. It's the spirit of error. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 a minute. Are you with me? Romans 8, verse number 26. When you get there, say amen. If you don't get there, write it down. Amen. Romans 8, 26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." In other words, when you're going according to his word, you're going according to his will. His word, his will. His word, his will. Look at your neighbor and say, his word, his will. Amen. In other words, if I want to be in the will of God, I know I'm in the will of God when I'm obedient to his word. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. In other words, when I'm obedient to his word, I know that I'm walking and acting in the will of God. And why am I saying this? Because God's given gifts in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that are to be active in the body that should be taking place every time we gather together. Why? And when I'm operating in my gifts, what am I doing? I'm being obedient to God's word and obedient to God's will. Because if it wasn't God's will for the gifts to be active in the body, he wouldn't be speaking to the church about the gifts being active in the body. He isn't speaking just for the sake of talking. He isn't speaking just because he doesn't have nothing to do but talk. You know, he says what he says, what he means, and he means what he says. Amen. And what I'm going to do as a man and woman of God, as I'm operating in the gifts, because I'm gifted. Look the one beside you and say, you're gifted. You know, as I'm operating in the gifts of the Spirit and the body of Christ, I'm bringing glory to him. And if I'm bringing glory to him and not to me, I shouldn't be shy about standing up and doing what God called me to do. Because it never was about me. It was about him. Amen? Amen? See, we always take it personally. Well, I can't get up and say that. What will people think? I'd rather worry about what God thinks than what man thinks. Are you with me? Amen. He wants these gifts to be active and flowing in the body of Christ. Amen. So that's why we're talking. That's why we're ministering here. Amen. Jesus exemplified this in Matthew chapter 12. So go back to Matthew 12 for a moment. He gave us a good example. Of spiritual discernment. In Matthew 12, 25, when you get there, say amen. Matthew 12, 25. It says, and Jesus knew their thoughts. Holy Ghost discernment. God looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. God sees the thoughts and intents. But Jesus said, hey, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He said, you're either with him or you're not. You're either a gatherer or a scatterer. Amen? Amen? And he says, hey, I know one thing. I want to stand with him. How about you? Amen? I'll calm down a minute. Calm down a minute. He says discerning of spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits. In other words, when we gather in the house, not everyone has this gift. This is a special gift for the body of Christ when they gather together. Amen. That the gift is in operation because nobody's going to benefit from it unless it's moving, unless it's active. Faith is our activator. We're trusting God at his word. Amen? You know, he says, hey, he said, he that is not with me is against me. He that is either speaking the spirit of truth or the spirit of error, it's either Christ or the Antichrist. There's no in between. There's no gray area in the Word of God. It's written in black and white. And if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you have the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, you ask the Lord to guide you and direct you as you read the Word, and He gives you revelation, and He gives you understanding, and all of a sudden it builds you up. It strengthens you. Amen? It strengthens you. It gives you power. We talked this morning about having resurrection power. Amen? That Christ has been raised from the dead. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you and I. We have resurrection power. Amen? And that spirit to be operating in the body. Amen? Amen? Hey, guess what? There's people in the room that needs what you're holding. They need what you got. I don't know. I need God, but I need you too. And guess what? You need me. And when I need somebody in the body of Christ, it's not about their personality. It's not about their looks. It's not about where they've been or what they've done. It's about who they are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You're a child of God. You belong to Him. Amen? And you're special. Amen? Sometimes we brothers and sisters in Christ beat each other up and they don't feel special. They feel beaten. God didn't call anybody to beat anybody up. I ain't going to judge anybody. I don't point at anybody. When I point at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at me. There's an old saying that he that lives in a glass house don't throw any rocks. Hello? Are you listening? Amen? And we know what God wants us to get a hold of when we're discerning His spirits, that there's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. There's a spirit of Christ and a spirit of Antichrist. All of everything we have is in our trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Everything's about trusting Him. All the gifts, the Spirit, everything, man. Man, I mean, God wants to put us in active service. Amen. Secondly, we have dialects. Dialects. He says, in diverse kinds of tongues. Comes from the word glossa. Glossa is an unlearned language. Unlearned. In other words, it's a language you didn't know before the Spirit got a hold of you. How's that? Turn with me in Acts chapter 2 a moment. Acts chapter 2. Verse number 1. We'll just go and read the first 4 verses of Acts 2. So everybody's got discerning of spirits, right? Amen? I hear me, amen, or I got to go back there. You know, when I hear amens, I move on. Amen. 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 Hey, we don't have to be hanging around something if you get it. When I hear an amen from somebody, that means, man, I got what you're saying. Now let's go on. Amen. And if I don't hear it, it's like, okay, Lord, I got to keep on talking. Got to keep on walking. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all that were in the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want you to understand the gifts of the Spirit or the gift of tongues, diverse kind of tongues in the body, isn't your prayer language. It's a special gift that God gives for the benefit of the body of Christ. Now we all, when the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues, a glossa and dialects, an unlearned language. And it was a little bit different because everybody understood in their own language without an interpreter. There was something that supernaturally happened in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but this is the only time he refers to that, was the outpouring. Then as to the word, when he talks about gifts of tongues, he just talks about the gift of tongues coming as a gift from the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand something with me. And it says this, and they began to speak in other tongues. In other words, it didn't say that the Holy Spirit started speaking through them. The Bible says, and they began to speak. Without movement, faith is the activator. And they began to speak, and all of a sudden there was another language that started flowing out of their mouths. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them words to utter. But the Holy Spirit ain't going to make you do it. He didn't say the Holy Spirit made them. It said they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began. In other words, there was something that they physically did. They had to open their mouth and move. Amen? I'm saying this for a purpose and a reason, so just bear with me. So go with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. We're talking about be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit being an operation of the body. We're under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we get in the atmosphere of worship and praise to God, as we come into unity and agreement together, you know, this is the only time that you can get a body of people really agreeing on something is when they sing a same song because they're all singing the same words at the same time and there's a harmony. There's unity in the body. And the Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst. He can't help but come and breathe in the place. So as we're worshiping and praising God, that is the atmosphere when the gifts of the Spirit start becoming active because I'm like we got up here and we prayed, empty out myself, fill me with you. basically. I mean, it wasn't the words of the song, but that's basically what we're doing. We were laying down ourselves and picking him up, right? So as we're coming into that place of worship and glory and bringing glory and honor to him, he inhabits that. That's when the gifts of the Spirit start being activated. That's when things start taking place. Amen. And what you have to do is let just flow and let it go. You know, if you let it flow, if you got a word of prophecy, you just say, I got a word of prophecy, blah, 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 and let it go, we'll stop and hear it. If somebody begins to pray out loud in tongues, we're going to stop and hear it. But there's an interpreter that needs to interpret it. Because God isn't the author of confusion. He doesn't want us to gather up and be confused, gather together and be confused. He wants us to be built up. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be edified. Amen? So as he's saying this gift in Acts chapter 19, verse number 6, the word of God says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. There was something that took place with the apostle Paul with the laying on of hands. All of a sudden, it was the laying on of hands, and the gift started, was activated. But it doesn't always happen with the laying on of hands. If you go back to Acts chapter 10, and verse 44, it talks about Peter. The Bible says, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which really were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So what is he saying? He is saying the initial gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the evidence of speaking in another tongue, in other languages. It's a gift. It's not something that is earned or deserved. Here's the biggest lie of the body of Christ. There's been a holiness teaching. Holiness teaching goes like this. It says that you have to be holy and pure before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the problem with that teaching is, you can never be truly holy and pure without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're trying to get the cart in front of the horse. Amen. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the helper. When I'm being baptized, I'm being immersed in the Spirit. I'm being overcome by the Spirit. I'm under its influence. How many in the room, let's be honest with each other, how many people have been drunk with wine or alcohol or booze? Come on, let me see your hand. Now, what happened? Were you under the influence? Come on. Now, when I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm under the influence. I'm under the influence. I'm overwhelmed. I'm intoxicated. But not with alcohol. I'm intoxicated by the Spirit of God. And I'm drinking some new wine. I'm drinking some wine that renews and refreshes and restores. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm being filled with that newness of life through Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's about being overwhelmed with the Spirit. Amen. I'm sitting there studying this morning and just praying in my office this morning. And all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed. I was under the influence. Amen. 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 Come on. Come on. This isn't something for us to be afraid of. It's a gift from God. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, he said, if ye being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In other words, if you desire the gift and ask for the gift and believe that you receive the gift, you'll have the gift. It ain't like, okay, this is the this is the map. I'm going to lay a road map out of you, and I want you to take this road, and I want you to go over here and do this, do that, do this, do that. What do you think of when you think about a gift? It's unearned. It's unmerited. It comes to you freely. Amen? It's not going to cost you anything. Amen? Don't get all tight, Pastor, and ask it for your money. Not today. Maybe next week we find out we need to buy that van for the church, but not this week. Hello? Amen? Are you with me? So we find that we have, wait a minute, let me go see where I was going here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go back to gifts in the body of Christ. Verse number 22. We're talking about the gifts of the of speaking in tongues in the body of believers. Hey, listen to me. The Bible says, many people get misunderstand. The Bible says, tongues shall cease when that perfect is come. The perfect hasn't come because Jesus hasn't returned yet. Do we live in a perfect world yet? Has sin been perfected yet? Has death been perfected yet? No, it hasn't. Amen? So it's still active. This is the body. He's preaching to the church. This is writing to the church. This isn't writing to anybody but the church. But he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, he says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church were coming together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're all mad? In other words, what's happened is people have taken the scripture out of context and not used it in operation according to the Word of God. Because when we gather together, unless there's interpretation, we don't speak in tongues. Amen? Amen? Because everybody needs to be edified. Everybody needs to be built up. We're not here to confuse. There's enough confusion in the world without them getting confusion when they come to the house of God. God isn't the author of confusion. He's a God of order. And he does everything decently, and he does them in order. Are you with me? So we find that there's discerning of spirits, the diakrisis. We have the insight, discernment. We have the dialects. There's the diverse kinds of tongues, the glossa, the unlearned language. And then the third one is the interpretation of tongues, the hermeneia. The hermeneia. In other words, it's bringing insight. In other words, if someone doesn't understand, if I come to you and speak to you in Spanish, and you don't understand Spanish, but Pam can speak in Spanish, I speak to you in Spanish, and she speaks to you Spanish and English, so you understand. Same thing is in the Spirit of God. God, when someone speaks in tongues, there must be someone that interprets the tongue so that the church may receive edifying. That's according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 5. It says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Except it be interpreted, that the church may receive edifying. Everything that God does, he does to build up. He wants to build you up. He don't want to tear you down. There's enough tearing down that's going on in this world. God has come to save us, to redeem us, to cleanse us, to build us up. Amen? To build us up. You know what? We come together in the house of God so that we can be built up, so that we can build someone else up. In other words, we're to take what God gives us and we're to give it to someone else. Amen. Everything God gives us is for someone else. Amen. When we get others on our mind instead of ourselves on our minds, all of a sudden God will start moving and operating. Amen. Amen. That God has a plan in your life, but he has a plan in every life of everyone in the world. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. Even though my wife tries to convince me all the time that she's God's favorite. And so am I. And so are you. He has favorites. That's all of us. Amen. Amen. I never was a favorite pet growing up. LaVon was. Right? So I was the good one and she was the brat. Nah. She had the brat. She's an anointed, powerful, spirit-filled woman of God. Amen. Amen. She's God's favorite. Amen. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, and we'll shut this down if everybody's getting it. The Word of God says in verse 26, he says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at least at the most three by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Amen? Amen? Because everything that God's in the building up business, God's building a kingdom that's going to last for eternity. Amen? I don't know about you, but eternity is a long, long time. So what is God what is God saying today in closing this morning? He's saying simply this. No prophet without manifestation. To one is given a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. What God is saying today is simply this in closing, that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So in closing today, there's a two-part close today that the Lord gave me instructions. Number one, the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation. And if you're not 100% sure that if you died today, that you would go to heaven, that God says that you could know that before you leave here today. And if you're not 100% sure, you don't know for certain, would you slip up your hand and just say, Pastor, that's me. I